You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Interstate Batteries has been a proud supporter of the Sportsman's Nation since day one. So if you're looking for a battery for your truck, a battery for your trail camera, or literally everything in between, including specialized batteries, stop into your local Interstate Battery retail store and talk with a battery specialist. There are thousands of locations all over the United States. And if you want to find out more about the batteries they sell, the culture, visit their website, interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Thomas, and this is episode 3. Today, Micah and I talk with Tony Larson. Tony runs a program called Mo Vets Outdoors. Mo Vets Outdoors is a VFW-sponsored program in the state of Missouri only, designed to help veterans get more involved in the outdoors in one way or the other. So in this episode, we kind of talk about some of the different events they have to help raise money to then take vets on hunts and different trips that they may or may not be able to do otherwise. So there's a lot of awesome stuff on there. Tony tells some stories about some hunts he's been on that he really remembers, and we just kind of have a good time listening to Tony talk about what it is that organization does. So I hope you all enjoy the show. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Mo Vets Outdoors has only been around for about a year, so it's really cool to see how many vets they have already helped in this state so far. And, you know, hopefully we can all help them continue to grow. So I hope you enjoy the show. This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. What's up, everybody? I'm joined here today with my co-host Micah, and our guest today is Tony Larson with Mo Vets Outdoors. Tony, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
How you guys doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Yeah, I'm good over here.
Tony, we're excited to have you on, man. This is one of our first shows, but right out of the gates, I knew I wanted to do a show, you know, that could help you know, veterans in our state, especially our state. So we're excited to have you on. Before we get started too in depth here, why don't you introduce yourself, tell us what you do for a living, and what is your favorite thing about the outdoors?
Yeah, well, again, my name's Tony Larson. I run my own mobile welding business over here at Troy, Missouri, and stay pretty busy with that, and obviously run the Mo Vets Outdoors program for the VFW, and spend a lot of my extra time doing that. And favorite thing about the outdoors is it's that mental getaway. And, you know, me being a veteran, it's always nice I can go out and forget about everything, and it's just so healing in the aspect of what's been given to us here. And I you don't have to be a veteran to understand that.
No, but it definitely puts some stuff in perspective.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure.
What branch did you serve in, if you don't mind us asking?
Yeah, I was active duty Army.
Awesome, man. Yeah, like I said, I think I'm speaking for Micah and our other co-host Andy, who wasn't able to make it today, but We definitely thank you and all the vets in our state and the country that, you know, make it possible for us to sit here and talk about hunting and outdoors right now.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Mean, we're big fans, oh, yeah. Big fans of the Army and all the branches.
Yeah, good. So, the Army's the best one of them.
You know what's funny? They all say that about themselves.
Yeah, everybody,
right?
Everybody's really, really pro whichever branch they're in. I found that out. I got a buddy that's in the Air Force.
Yeah.
And he was, oh, yeah, Air Force. They're by far the best. They're by far. And then you get somebody
else.
Oh,
yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that's going to happen.
Well, and Tony, you know, Mike and I are brother-in-laws, so he knows my family, obviously. And my family, we have somebody that's been in every branch of the service. So we've kind of heard it all. And, you know, Navy's best. Marines are best. So I love hearing it, too. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure your family reunions are hoot.
Yeah. So did you do any turkey hunting this year?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We hosted two veteran turkey hunts over at Martinsburg, Missouri. Got put up on a farm by Geeting Construction over here in Troy. They own quite a bit of property, and they have graciously given us access to a lot of them to do quite a few events. And that farm was loaded with turkey. The first sit, we sat down, went out and scouted just to find out where the birds were at, and we counted eight different gobblers. It was heaven for a turkey hunter. That farm was heaven.
Yeah,
we hosted two hunts out there, and unfortunately, they were unsuccessful to a harvest, but were successful in the point of camaraderie and spending time outdoors. We found some mushrooms and some morels. We found chicken of the woods out there, and they had a great time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all up, you know this, but it's not always about the, you know, the end result. Sometimes it's, you know, the hunts that didn't go right are ones you remember more than anything.
Oh, yeah.
So
you always want to set out everything. We had to set up the first time we did. We had to set up with, you know, Jake and two hens out there. And I think what it was is we had so many hens on the farm that Jake's and nothing wanted to fight for hens. So they seen the Jake decoy, and we had two toms at the other end of the field, 70 yards out, and they seen the Jake decoy. The only thing I can think of why they wouldn't come in, we did everything right, we're hidden, and they just wouldn't come in. So we tried pulling the Jakes the second hunt, and just from some talk of some neighbors there and everything, that there had been some movement on the property from people that didn't have access to it. So it kind of ruined the hunts a little bit. So we had set up camp the night before, and I sat around the fire and shot the breeze. So
yeah,
it was still a good time.
Well, awesome. Do y'all usually, is that what y'all usually do, is either camp there on the property, or do y'all have lodges or hotels that y'all stay at, or does it just all depend?
Just depends on what the event is. So when we did some deer hunts for bow season, early bow, rifle season, and late bow season in Mexico, Missouri this past year. And 47 West Trailers out of Troy, Missouri, Bob Cobb is a Vietnam veteran himself, and he graciously donated the use of campers for our events. And we didn't want to necessarily camp where they were hunting in fear that we would mess up hunts. But so 95.7 KWWR there, not even a quarter mile up from the from where the veterans were hunting, radio station, they let us park that camper in their parking lot, and that's where we had deer camp.
Nice.
And we'd stop at Casey's on the way in and drop them off. We even had a built ground blind for the handicapped veterans. We did three hunts there, three veterans each time, and four hunts, three veterans each time, 19 deer were harvested.
Nice.
Between the bow hunts, the rifle hunt, it was definitely very successful at that farm.
That's awesome. Man. That is awesome.
Well, before we get too far out ahead of ourselves, why don't we circle back around right quick And
yeah,
why don't you tell us about Movets Outdoors? You know, what specifically you all do to help Missouri veterans, and you know, then we'll have some fun with talking about, you know, some of these hunts. But you know, why don't you tell the folks, you know, what exactly you all are about?
Yeah, so Movets Outdoors is a Veterans of Foreign Wars program, only in the state of Missouri. The state of Missouri for the VFW is the first state out of all of them that have started an outdoors program. And my goal is to eventually push this to be a national program, but we'll slowly get there. And we take veterans hunting, fishing, camping, outdoors, anything. We got golf tournaments being organized right now, crappie tournaments, camping trips. You know, if it's outdoors, we want to be able to introduce veterans to that. If they've never done it before, they may find a new outlet, you know. So if veterans never deer hunted before, we can put with experienced deer hunters, or even sometimes, you know, just slightly experienced deer hunters who are veterans, and they find a click with that veteran, they want to go hunt with them, you know. So we have all kinds of volunteers that's helping with our program here, and it's proven itself to be very successful. I get a lot of messages after the events of, you know, hey, thank you. You have no idea what kind of mental space I was in at this point in my life, and going out on the Movets event really gave me another outlet, or just kind of turned things around for me. And that's how we get paid. Right. You know, everybody does this for, you know, we don't get paid at all, period. It's all nonprofit. Obviously, everybody knows what the VFW is, a 501c19 combat veteran nonprofit organization. And VFW has been here for 120 years, and it's the largest and oldest veteran organization, and it does the most for veterans. And we just want to continue holding that status and doing the most and providing this. And this program focuses on the veteran mental health and suicide prevention part of it. If there's anything that I know I can do to keep one of my brothers or sisters mentally sound and help them get through whatever mental battle, whatever mental war they're going through, I will go above and beyond to try to help them. And everybody that's helping with my program is the same mindset.
Right.
That's awesome.
Well, and I don't know how any better way really to help decompress anybody. I mean, not just veterans, but anybody, than
for sure,
you know, time in the woods. I mean, that's part of why, you know, in our first episode, all three of us talked about what we loved about the outdoors, and we pretty much all said the same thing. It's different. It's just something that
it's the getaway. It's the camaraderie of it and all that. So yeah, I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. So
and the best part that I like about this is, let's say I do an event where I take, you know, four or five veterans out on one event. It's almost every time where two of those veterans click. None of them are within Movets, but they get introduced to each other on the event, and then they turn into hunting buddies. And then I start seeing, hey, look, you know, and I'm going to name drop a little bit just because I think it's awesome. But Cody Allen is an airman at a Whiteman Air Force Base. And when I met him, he's 19 years old, still in the Air Force. And same trip had Jared Lane at Elite Summit over there on the boat. Yeah, that was a bow hunt. And Jared's out of the Army, active duty. He was 11 Bravo, you know. Not too many times you can say that these guys' paths were going to meet, and they just hit it off. You know, pretty big age difference, but they're really good hunting buddies, and they go out, and Cody sent me a couple things, him and Jared out. So I really think that's just another part of this where it's just introducing people to new people, and it's amazing just the way it all works out on its own.
Well, I think, I mean, that's that's awesome. I mean, I'm sitting here with some of the best friends I've ever had in my entire life are because of hunting. I mean, my brother-in-law right here mm-hmm. next to me, our my cousin Andy. I mean, we're all best friends because of the outdoors. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, you choose to be around those people.
Yeah. How long exactly. How long has this been going on? When did you guys get this mission started?
So, we'll say it was first talked about last May, and I was talking with the VFW state commander about it, and then we hosted a crappie tournament at Mark Twain. And again, the current commander right now is Troy Williams, and he showed up to the crappie tournament, and about before he left, he said, you know, Tony, I think we need an outdoors program, and I want you to be the department chairman for it. So, you know, technically that's when the wheels started turning was May. That's when I started calling my close buddies up and saying, hey, here's this opportunity. We need to, this is what I'm going to be pushing for. Then we have our state convention in June. So Troy told me, hey, you got a month to gather something up and we're going to vote on it at the state convention down in Springfield, Missouri. I want to pitch it to them. So here I'm getting all nervous like it's a promotion board because I'm literally going to go stand in front of every district commander in the state of Missouri for the VFW, every elected official for the VFW. And as a young veteran, you know, I'm 32 years old. And, you know, the average age of the VFW is, you know, in its 70s. So it's like here, you know, I'm approaching guys that are a lot older than me, been doing this a lot longer than me, and going to say, hey, let's try something new. And so, you know, it's definitely, you know, you kind of amp yourself up a little bit. How is this going to go? You know, going to work, you know. Well, I'm on my drive down to Springfield, and the state commander calls me and said, hey, change of plans. It was already voted on. We're a go. Now you're just going to tell us how you're going to do it.
Wait a minute.
So I don't got to sell myself or nothing? This is great.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, so we also utilize, I want to utilize this platform, and not only just helping veterans mentally and getting them outdoors and introducing them to these activities, but I also want to use, just like the VFW's always done, pushing for more veteran benefits. And I can use this to push for more veteran benefits when it comes to the outdoors. Like, we've already presented something to Missouri Department of Conservation about opening up a Veterans Appreciation waterfowl hunt on public draw-in areas. So it's got declined, but we're not done fighting for it. We're right. Just regathering, regrouping, getting more reinforcements to present it again. And I'm happy to say that Delta Waterfowl is now behind us on this, and we're working together to see this happen.
That's awesome.
So it's that was presented before MoVets was ever made. So they'd already seen my face is what I was getting at. You know, they kind of seen me already. They kind of knew who I was. And I was also the Troy, Missouri post commander for a couple years. So I slowly pushed my name in there. So they the ones that knew me trusted me, and they knew that I was here for the right reasons. So they were comfortable with going ahead and doing it. But so the – what I go by when you ask how long the program has been going, I go by the date that the Facebook page started, which was last July. So that's when we actually started getting people on the page, started pushing events and doing giveaways, and really started turning the gears.
Yeah. And that's, I think this is a good spot to maybe kind of help people understand the difference. You know, when you and I talked some last week, when I asked you if you wanted to come on the show, and I kind of got, you know, there's two, you know, main ways, you know, obviously you have to do some fundraising so that you can help do some things for your vets. And so you have events, and then you have giveaways. So why don't you explain to everybody, you know, the difference between the two? You know, some of these events you know, guys like Micah and myself could sign up for to help raise money for the organization. And then those lead to, you know, your giveaway. So why don't you kind of talk about that structure and so people kind of have a better idea how that works for you guys.
Yeah, so we're currently planning our first banquet, and it'll be ran just like if you've ever been to a DU or a Whitetails Unlimited banquet. It ran about the same way, and we're going to centrally locate it in the state at Columbia. We're either going to do it the VFW Hall there or the KC Hall. But we're looking at August, and we haven't – that's tentative right now just because of all COVID and everything. So hopefully we can – really get that going. Other things we got, Mike Plum, my D14 team lead down south, he has organized a golf tournament to help raise funds. And all these funds that we raise go into their local areas for events in their local areas. So, like, he's down in Springfield, so he'll be, you know, using that money to send these veterans out on whatever trips he can get organized, or if, let's say, they're doing a big camping trip and he needs to purchase food and stuff for the trip and consumables, and that way he has the money to do that. You know, this is, we're operating on a low level right now and building it slowly so that way we can get to the point where we're paying for these veterans to go on that elk hunt. They're paying these veterans to go on that bear hunt, you know. These hunts of a lifetime that some would never have the opportunity to ever do.
Right.
And we have a designated page that we're kind of COVID's really stopped it, and I hate it, but we have it's a Facebook page. It's a MoVets Outdoors Raz page. It's all online raffle, and it's items that can be raffled to Facebook standards. So there's no firearms or anything on there. But we currently have a UTV raffle. We have a side-by-side that it's a Kymco 450i, I believe. It's a 2020 model. So those, we're only making 200 tickets to those, and we're selling them for $50 a pop. It's normally $11,000 side-by-side. And
yeah.
All that funds would go to events.
And what was the name of that page again, you said?
MoVets Outdoors Raz page. Anybody can put in on that. You don't have to be a veteran to get on that page and help and put in for our online raffles. But it's pretty self-explanatory. When they get there, you'll see a post. It'll say, you know, how many spots at whatever cost, and then you send the money through PayPal to the PayPal that's posted, and then we'll go live on that page, and we will go to random number generator. And the way we make it super random is we'll roll a dice first. We'll roll a dice, and as long as the number's above 5, we'll say we roll an 8. Then now we go over to random number generator, and we hit that button 8 times, and there's our winner. You know, just to make it even more random, so that way everybody's happy.
Right. Well, and I think that's how, like, Micah and I found out about you all was, you know, we live in the west central part of the state, and there was a coyote hunt that you all were hosting in out of the Warrensburg area a few months ago, and we were in the middle of our, you know, coyote season, and we thought, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, we just got done with, that was Midwest.
Midwest Wildlife had Midwest one the week before that, yeah.
Habitat, and we were like, okay, where's the next one, and we found y'all's. And we were hoping to get there, but then that's when that COVID started to hit, and the wives were like, no, we don't want you going anywhere, and that sort of thing. So we weren't able to make it, but y'all went on with that tournament, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. It was right before they really started closing everything down. And
awesome.
We went ahead and did it. Tim Worley is my team lead for that district over there. See, now you guys will hear me call them districts. The VFW already splits the state up into 13 districts. So, like, D3 is like St. Joe to like northern Kansas City. Kansas City area is D5, and then Warrensburg, Odessa, Warsaw, Sedalia, that's D6. You know, it's, I have a page if anybody's interested on how the districts are split up and who they can reach out to in their local area for helping with events. I have a breakdown on the page of the state of the map of Missouri, and it breaks down every county. You know, it uses the county borders for the breakdown for the district. But now that Kyo tournament was hosted by D6. Tim Worley is my team lead there. He's a prior Marine and one of, I consider my best friend. He's a really good duck hunting buddy of mine, and I met him through the outdoors. So
awesome. How did that tournament turn out? Did they have a pretty good number?
Oh, or? Yeah. Awesome. I think because I let them run their thing because I can't micromanage everything. So
right.
If I remember right, Tim had, I think, 13 teams, and he was able to raise just over $500 for our program, and that will go back into events in his local area for him taking veterans out fishing and hunting and all that stuff.
Well, and I think those are terrific ways to get people, you know, number one, to, you know, generate some money for the program, to get people involved, because it's not just, you know, calling, asking for donations. And, you know, like guys like us, I think we even talked about it. We're like, you know, if we win this thing, we're giving that winning money right back to them, you know? And I mean, that's what's cool is you find a cool way to have fun
and
with
raise money.
The people that you're, you know, asking to help you out. And then you still get the job done that you're set out to do, which is to raise money for, you know, the giveaways, which, you know, you kind of talked about them at the beginning of the show, but, you know, all these events you're doing, this coyote hunt, you know, the,
crappie fishing,
the banquet you guys are hoping to have in August, you know, these are all ways that anybody can get involved, you know, not specifically vets. But talk about what all of these events do then to help specific vets, like you were talking about with me last week, which I thought was really cool. You know, we were raising money to get these guys to get to go, guys and gals, to get to go do stuff that normally they might not get the chance. So, you know, kind of talk about that if you don't mind.
Yeah, for sure. No, so those are like, you know, I talk a lot about our main events because everybody wants to help out. And they said, you know, if they're not veterans, and some times if they are veterans, they want to know how they can help other veterans out. So I do talk about those a lot, but our workhorse is our small events. You know, this event where some local guide down in Branson, Scotty's Trout Doc down in Branson donates to take three veterans out on a hunt, you know. Or not a hunt, a fishing trip, and they have a blast for half a day, and then get to, you know, go home. I think one of them had never been trout fishing before. One of our most current ones, right before COVID was all done, we did an exotic sheep hunt, and that was a lot of people coming together for that one.
Was that here in the state? Where was that done at?
That was done here in Missouri, and there's a Tom and Nancy Richardson out of Santa Fe, Missouri. They raise exotic sheep, and it was crazy on how it all came about. We were doing another small coyote hunt in Mexico, Missouri, and I was meeting up with my pro staff, Dustin Michelini, and to go scout and get him set up on the fields that we were taking these veterans out for the next day. And I pulled over to take a phone call, and here Tom Richardson approaches my door. I'm in the parking lot of Casey's, and knocks on my window and asks me if I have a minute, and tells me that he raises sheep and he wants to donate one to the program because he's seen a sticker on the side of my truck. I was like, hold up, let me call you back. You know,
yeah.
I need to get up. I'll talk to him. So, for quite a couple hours on different occasions, getting everything figured out, because now we got this sheep. This sheep was a Raca, and it originates out of Hungary. And it's the only other way to harvest a sheep like that is to traveled hungry.
that's going to cost some money.
Or go to one of these high fence ranches. Well, you know, we start picking our brains of, well, you know, if I release this sheep the night before out on one of these other farms, who knows if it goes on a neighbor's, who knows if it gets ran over in the highway. Let's try to see if we can get one of these high fence ranches to let us utilize their area for a veterans hunt. So I called up High Adventure Ranch. They're down at down by Salem, Cook Station.
Yep, I've been down there.
Yeah, so I called them up, and without missing a beat, they said, for sure, let's line it up. And they were willing to put the veteran up overnight, feed the veteran everything, and all for free, donate. And I just had to get that sheep down there, and they thought that was – it was different. It's the first time they've ever had somebody show up with with the animal they wanted. You know, obviously they have their own that they have there and maintain, which was awesome. You know, once we got there for the hunt, picked up Joshua Ben, Kingdom City, and took him down there, and we got to ride the whole property. You got to see everything from trophy sika deer to bison to other rams and elk. It was awesome. Then go back and they had a bison stew, something like that. It was really good.
Oh, that sounds
and
good.
Then we went out for the hunt. It was a spot and stalk hunt. Went to the back where we thought the ram might be, and searched for him for a little while, and found his location, and was able to get that veteran Joshua up on the sheep. Now Joshua was a 82nd Airborne Army veteran, and he had lost his right leg over in Afghanistan, and it was a privilege to be able to take him out, and I've made a friend in doing so.
Man, I can't even.
Awesome fella.
I can't
awesome
even imagine how good that makes you feel, you know, or
just
anybody involved in helping that out, helping you, you know, him get that opportunity, good that makes them feel.
Well, we were able to get it all on film, too, and cool. The film is being edited and made right now. One of the guys, Jay Johnson, is a civilian friend, has wanted to donate his time and efforts and all his gear to it, and he had just as much fun filming it as he did hunting.
Yeah, I bet. You know, when you first started talking, you were talking about that the fella giving trout hunts away. Or trout hunts, mm-hmm. trout fishes away.
I did the same thing.
And, you know, one event y'all ought to think about trying out, because I bet it would be crazy, is some type of trout fishing event if you could ever get it organized down at Bennett Springs. You know, guys like my dad, my gosh, they would love something that.
They would be happy to help out.
Yeah, and my dad's down there every damn weekend anyway. it seems like in the summer, you know, trout fishing. Just being a state park, I don't know how you'd figure that out, but that would be something that'd be pretty successful, I would bet.
Yeah, and I've talked with that to the state commander, and we just in us being so new and not having growing right now, we don't have as many people down there to help with it, and me being all the way up here, it. In time, I'll be able to provide all of those. And I don't think it'd be too difficultly hard. I don't think it'd be any different than hosting a crappie tournament up at Mark Twain Lake like we already do.
No, I bet it wouldn't be that hard. I mean, you guys, you know, obviously hosted fishing tournaments. You've hosted, you know, coyote tournaments. I mean, so you pretty well have figured out how to do those things. You know, we wish we could have went to the coyote tournament, just because we've been to, you know, a number of them now that, you know, it's, you kind of can tell which ones are really nicely ran and some that aren't maybe so much. And, you know, I bet you guys could figure it out pretty quickly on how to do those. So, you know, that's terrific how you guys kind of get the general public involved with the organization to help, you know, raise money for stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, and it helps when we got people that are experienced in those areas helping organize. So, you know, my team lead over there never hosted a coyote tournament before, but because of local people reaching out and saying, hey, I want to help you organize, this is how we've done them, you know, this and that, and next thing you know, everything's set up perfect.
Yeah. All right, so we talked a little bit about, you know, what kind of events and stuff, but let's say, what do the veterans need to do to get it part of this program? Like, do they just come to you personally, or how is there a process that they have to do to become eligible for this type of thing, or how do you go about picking which veterans to take on these hunts?
Okay, so if you are a veteran and you would like to go on one of these MOVETS trips, you would go to, on Facebook, you go to MOVETS Outdoors, and then parentheses, it'll say events group. So we have our main page that is like a news feed for everybody to see events that's already happened, what have you. But our events group is the page where all these other veterans are in, and that you got to answer three questions when you join asked to join the group. And one, obviously, are you a veteran? And two, what branch were you in? And I think the last question is, if you're not, are you a sponsor? Somebody wants to donate or what have you? So the only people that are on that group that aren't veterans are people that are helping out with these events. And they will, so the veteran will join that page or join that group on Facebook, and then they'll follow the page. And every post will have description on what they need to do to sign up for that event. So, like, let's say it's a snow goose hunt. We'll say, hey, snow goose hunt this date, the draw will be this date, and at this time, comment, or and I'll tell them a location and how many veterans you're going to get to go, and then I'll say comment bird down or something, just whatever I come up with for them to comment. Then you'll see all these veterans comment in the comment section below. They'll comment bird down, and then I'll give them all a number, one through however many sign up. So let's say 130 sign up. Then it comes time for the draw day, just like I kind of explained on the Raz page, but this one we just go straight to random number generator. And let's say I got this event for three veterans. I will go over to random number generator, one through 130 veterans that signed up. I'll click that button three times, and those are the three lucky winners. And then I'll click it three more times after that to give me alternates, because sometimes things come up. People got work, people, family issues arise, what have you. So we always draw alternates just in case something happens. And that's how they get drawn for the event. I hate it because you could have 60 vets and it's only a three veteran event, and you're just like, man, I wish I could.
Wish take you could them do more. Out. Yeah, yeah, it'd be nice to take them all every time, I'm sure.
Which we do a lot of events. I mean, our fundraisers aside, from as of my last report, so I got to give a report to the VFW on everything that we do. And the last report that I gave, well, I think was, what was it, February? Yeah, February was our last council of administration. And January, February, we at that point, from July till then, we'd already done 51 events and taken out 151 veterans.
Wow, that's amazing. So, man.
I gotta do the numbers again from, you know, add to what, February till now. Obviously, it has probably slowed down with COVID. We were halted for a little bit, but we're back running now because when we're doing small events.
Talk about some of those. Talk about some of those small ones. What are those kind of like? It's, you know, you got the coyote hunts and things like that, but what are some of these small things like?
Yeah, like the turkey hunts that I was just telling you guys about earlier. We did two veterans, me and one of my guides. We took them out to that farm. And then we did a couple coyote hunts. Took out, I think those were three. We were able to take three veterans. We've done deer hunts, you know. Those ones, you know, when you only got, you know, 100 acres or so, and you don't want to pile it up with, you know, eight veterans, and then scents are blowing everywhere, and, you know, nobody's successful.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And the other thing, you always got to try to, you know, as someone who is, you know, kind of running the program, you also have to be mindful of, you know, we don't want to step on toes, right? You pack in 15 mm-hmm. vets into 100 acres, and all of a sudden you got the rest of the surrounding landowners all angry at you that, you know, you got all these guys killing our deer, blah, blah, blah. You could, especially, you know, you're from Missouri, you know, deer season here is is like a rite of passage, right? So,
yeah,
you got to kind of have to balance it. That floors me, though, that you guys are as young as you are as far as an organization, and you've already done, you know, that much that fast. So
we just got a lot of people that are very passionate about it, because I know how much it helps me in the outdoors. You know, I did two tours in Afghanistan, and you go to the VA and they want to cram whatever pill they can down your throat to try to help whatever ways. And I tell you straight up, going hunting, fishing, spending times outdoors, going into marshes, duck hunting, nothing else will compare to the healing that will provide. For me, anyway.
Oh,
I'm not saying that's for everyone, but for me. And I know that it helps me, and I know that there's veterans out there that don't know that that helps. Or they're reclusive, and they don't have the motivation to get out and do it. And they're sitting there plugging around on their phone all day, and then boom, they run across MoVets and enter an event and get drawn, and then here's your motivation, you know?
Right. Out of all the people that you've personally probably taken out, how many do you think have had any hunting experience rather than none at all? Do you think most of them have had a little bit, or is it kind of 50-50?
We've taken out guys and gals of all experience levels. I know we got Amanda Thompson. She is a National Guard veteran. She'd never shot a goose in her life. We put her on her first bird this year up in Mexico. Same thing with snow geese. And a couple guys that never bow hunted before, we got them out and got them, you know, coached them. And I'll tell you, back to Cody Allen, that hunt there, I'll never forget that. That he'd never shot a buck with his bow. And we're sitting in the stand together. And, man, it's cold. It's raining on us. We're, you know, we're fighting back the shivers. I'm cold. But here, when we take these veterans out, you can't treat it like they're going to get to come back tomorrow. You know, you're not going to get access to this farm again. So you need to sit all day. You need to hunt, right?
Right.
You need to put in everything you got. Well, I remember, I think it was about 1:30 or something. I said, man, we've already done over half the day. We're, you know, we're almost there. And he looked at me like I stole his puppy or something, that we weren't going to get out of the stand and go warm up. And but not even 30 minutes later, his buck comes out, and I'm sitting there with a rangefinder, and here he had a buck grunt, and he's like, hey man, I want to grunt at him. I said, well then grunt at him. We had two does running and jumping in the field all around, and he was locked on them. And as soon as he hits that just one grunt, he pops over, starts coming to us, and I'm counting down for him in the rangefinder. I get down to, he gets to 40 and turns broadside, and I tell him, he's 40. And He said, "Did you say 40? I said, "Yeah." He shot him, dropped him.
And this is a guy that just started shooting a bow not too long before that?
Well, he's fairly new to bow, but he had never shot a deer with his bow.
That's pretty.
Never shot a deer with his bow.
That's a pretty awesome shot for someone like that, man.
Well, and he's from Arkansas, too, so they got tiny deer down there, so this deer was enormous to him. before we even climbed out of the stand, he's calling his dad and telling him, and, you know, he's tearing up, and, oh, man, you just the excitement in his eyes, just that made the whole thing for me.
Oh, man,
that's cool.
Because we're all, I mean, I'm assuming you've been hunting for quite a while. Me, myself, I'm the same. And even if they're not veterans, getting somebody out there, experiencing it for the first time, and them getting their first kill or whatever it is, and just seeing them get that enjoyment, it's huge. And it's almost better than if you would have got it. I mean, because it's just so amazing. It really is.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I'd be lying to you if me taking these guys and gals out wasn't healing me just as much as it is them.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think what's cool is, like you said at the beginning, this is the first state to start this program, you know, through the VFW. And how lucky, I mean, if you know about it as a Missouri veteran, or a non-veteran, as someone who could get involved, but if you know about it as a Missouri veteran, how lucky do you feel right now that you would have, you know, you have the opportunity to try to sign up for some of these giveaways? I mean, in their first year, dude, they've done 51 events, and I think you said over 151 vets have been taken out.
That's awesome.
You know, in your first, you said July is when you opened the Facebook page of 19, so that means you haven't even been running that Facebook page for a year yet. And, you know, so you've been putting in some work, dude.
Yeah, hopefully this blows up and we can get it even bigger. I mean,
I really hope it does, man. But
yeah, I mean the more people hear about it, the more people are gonna hopefully want to donate and their time. And I'm assuming most of y'all, the land that y'all hunt on is probably donated land where, hey, you can come out here for so long and take a guy out there. Is that how usually that works?
Yes, sir, that's exactly it. We got a lot of local farmers that a lot of local people that got phenomenal properties that just knocking on their door ain't going to do it no more. It's not like the old days where everybody's so kind and not too happy. Right. You know, a lot of these people are worried that, you know, just letting anybody on their property, they're going to get sued. But when it comes to a program that, you know, we got insurance and covered on these events, and, you know, it kind of gives them that stability, knowing that, hey, you know, and plus they're giving back to veterans. It's I think right now we have just over 10,000 acres across the state donated, just from local people here and there for different things. You know, some are goose fields, some are deer hunts, some are coyotes only, and some of them, just like anywhere, you're like, okay, they tell you you can shoot the deer, but you ain't touching the turkey, you know. or vice versa, you know, but we definitely, it's whatever the landowner says goes.
You know, them coyote hunts have got to be pretty easy, because I know most people are like, get those suckers off my property.
No, we get access to a lot of coyote places. That's
cool. Well, I mean, you know, like you said, you were talking about Cody Allen and his deer and, you know, some of the trout fishing down south, and, you know, just some of the things you've done. I have a feeling I know what your answer is going to be, but what, so far out of the hunts you've been on or been involved in, what has been your favorite one to date? I mean, was it the Cody Allen experience, or was it something else?
I don't know, because, I mean, Cody's was good because it was one of the first deer hunts and successful, but there was plenty of other ones shortly after that. And I'm a big waterfowl guy, so I really enjoy being able to introduce people to that, because you know, deer hunts is one thing. You sit there and you're quiet and what have you. When you're duck hunting, you get that social time. You get that time. It don't matter if the birds are flying or not. Yes, it's nice, but just sit in that blind and talk. That's a big thing for a lot of these vets. So I would say even some of the unsuccessful duck and goose hunts might even be my favorite.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I can see that too. I mean, we go out west every year elk hunting as a group here, and I mean, most of the time we're not successful, but it's still a hell of a time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
you get those bonding moments.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I will say though, you know, you and I, you know, talked last week, and then afterwards we were texting back and forth, and you sent me a couple pictures, and I'm going to make you talk about that thing, because that thing's a stud. you got to tell me about that hunt. So for everybody listening, Tony and I were texting back and forth, and we were talking about deer hunting, and he sent me a picture of a buck he harvested with your bow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a bow.
And this thing is a brute of an 8-pointer who looks like he is pretty old. So you got to tell me about that. I mean, did you have any history with that deer or what?
Just this year, I've seen him come up on the camera, and he had been, I would say anywhere from 4 to 8 p.m. He was strolling by my hang-on stand at my grandparents' farm, and I don't know, and it wasn't consistently every day. It was like, you know, okay, he came through this day, and then 3 days later he comes through, but he's always just strolling, so it looks like that's normal for him. And we did a November 11th Veterans Day, me and some buddies went and duck hunted. I mean, and it was snowing hard. We had like 40 mile an hour winds. And for whatever reason during that hunt, I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, man, I need to go climb in that stand tomorrow because it's going to be cold. And it might be one of those days that he's just strolling by. So I decided I had some work to do that morning. So I wasn't able to get out to that stand until I want to say 1. And I was like, you know, it might, hopefully he didn't already come through or what have you. And I ended up bumping a doe or two on the way in. But I just remember it was 19 degrees and I'm sitting there cold. And I mean, 30 minutes before sunset, he comes strolling through at 40 yards. And I didn't want to mess it up. I didn't meh at him or nothing. I just let it fly on him, and he went quite a ways. It wasn't the best shot, but we ended up getting him the next morning. The best part of it was I went and grabbed my grandfather, and he helped me drag him out of the woods. My grandpa's a Vietnam veteran, and he really enjoyed helping me, recover the harvest.
Yeah, but I think the recovery with the people you're doing it with is just as much fun as the shot and all that, you know?
Oh yeah. And it makes it even better when, you put in the work on that spot that, you know, that hang on stand, I welded myself, you know, it's not one I bought. I built that one, you know, I wanted to make one, and, you know, and then it being on family property, it makes it even a little more, and, you know, grandpa's obviously proud because it's taken on his property and gives him something to go show the guys at coffee every morning.
Yeah. No, I mean, I said, we talked about it a little bit, and he's a gorgeous deer. I mean, 8-pointer.
He came up because you had said yours was you'd shot an 8-point 152.
Not quite 152, but yeah. He's a big deer, but I mean, you know.
No, I said yours.
Yeah, no, I'm saying he wasn't quite 152, but yours, I mean, you get an 8-pointer that scores over 130 ever, and that's a good deer. I mean, you know, it's hard to get over that as an 8-pointer, and especially I showed Micah the picture before we called you, and the first thing he said is, man, that deer looks old. Like, that deer looks like he's got some stories to tell. And that, for me, on the deer hunting side, I could care less about score so much as, you know, harvesting a mature animal.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's what was cool about him is he looks like he has been through it before.
Yeah, he looks, you know, that, really old.
To me, that G1 looked busted up on the left side and, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Me and the neighbors seen him before I did. They're hanging out on him, and we think that he's 5 and a half, maybe 6. He has pretty wrinkly ears right where they meet, and he's really blonde too. So hopefully I get him back from taxidermy. I'll send you another picture.
Cool. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, I mean, we really appreciate you coming on. I mean, this was we've only done 3 shows so far, but this is going to be one of my favorite ones for a long time. I can tell you that, but, before we get off, why don't we one more time, why don't you give people all the different ways they can get with you all, you know, the Facebook page, whatever social media MoVets Outdoors has, why don't you plug those one more time and then,
how anybody can help.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Definitely. If you're a veteran, look up MoVets Outdoors and then parentheses, it'll say events group. That's where all the veterans can put in for any of our trips, and any of the giveaways that we have going on. If you just want to follow us and, just see how we're doing and a little news feed, go just to MoVets Outdoors page. That's where we post, after events for anybody on Facebook can see. We post some of our good pictures over on our Instagram. It's MoVets_outdoors. And then if you want to participate in our online raffles, it's MoVets Outdoors Raz page.
And spell that last part out, Raz.
R-A-Z-Z.
There you go, folks. All right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we will.
And
go ahead.
My phone number is on all of it. If they want to email, my email is movetsoutdoors@movfw.org. And my phone number's all over the page there. And if they want to call me, I'll give it to them now, 636-373-4266. Again, I'm the department chairman for it. So if you don't know who to reach out to in your local areas to help with any of our events or in any way possible, get a hold of me and I can get you directed to my team lead in your guys' area.
Awesome.
That's awesome, man. Anything else you want to add before we hop off?
I think we pretty much hit it all, man.
Well, I think that I had a great time listening to you. I mean, some of these stories, I feel like I know Cody Allen now. I've never met the guy in my life, you know, some of that. I mean, so, you know, I really appreciate you hopping on with us, and we'll be sure to tag all your pages and stuff on our when we release this episode for you. So we just appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, appreciate your service and all the other veterans out there.
Yeah, that goes without saying for guys like us, but it doesn't get said enough. So we really appreciate it, man, and we'll talk at you later.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
All right, we'll see you. All right, there's the show. I hope you all enjoyed it. I know Mike and I really had a good time talking with Tony. Tony is a super nice guy who spends a lot of his extra time outside of the business he already runs trying to help vets in our state get involved in the outdoors. So, you know, whatever anybody can do, whether it's go to some of their events to help support them or even offer up land to help them, you know, do whatever hunts that they're looking to do. I really think this is a good organization that is doing things the right way. So, you know, if nothing else from this show, just sit back and think about the men and women who have sacrificed limb, life, and happiness sometimes to help us get to enjoy the things we get to enjoy in the outdoors. And, you know, I'm not trying to be too sappy about it, but I really do appreciate everything our service men and women do for us. And I will always be behind our military and help them whatever way I can. So Anyway, I hope you all enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next week.